Hey, y'all, welcome back to the show. It's your host, Janice. And as usual, it's been a long time since my last episode. And I'm going to try something a little bit new today. Don't hold me to this because this could literally be the first and last time this happens. But I was thinking that, you know, I take a lot of time to, script out and research and really think about what I want to say for these podcast episodes. And I love doing it that way. I want to make sure that I'm saying exactly what I want to say. There's a lot of information and background knowledge that I try to bring in from, you know, the so-called experts and stuff. But also it means that it can sometimes take weeks and weeks for me to like actually put out something. And in the meantime, you know, there's a lot of things happening in my life where I feel like I'm actually integrating that knowledge. Like a lot of the stuff I talk about is very theoretical. I am talking about the research, the literature, and things I've learned, a lot of the self-healing work I've done on an individual level. And, you know, when I go out into the world, I'm also in active relationship with people. I am also, you know, implementing and really actively integrating some of these really amazing things that I have learned and done, you know, with myself, within my therapy sessions, and into like the real life. And I thought that it would be interesting to share some of those things as they happen in a little bit more of an unscripted, raw sort of way. I am really talking off the cuff here. Like I just have a few sort of point form notes in my notes app, but that's it. Like I'm just gonna speak and I'm gonna talk about some things that come up that really feel important to say. And so today I will be talking about getting back into dating after the pandemic. And I mean, we're still in it, you know, not to confuse anybody. It is August 2021 as I speak, but right now where I'm at, like in which is Ontario, I live on a farm, for those of y'all who don't know, just outside of the city of Toronto. But I've been going into the city more often nowadays. Things feel like they're opening up again slowly. Lots of people getting vaccinated. And I know that there is still concern about like the Delta variant, etc. And so it's not to just sort of dismiss all of that. But certainly there is a feeling, I think, here of like, oh my God, like things are kind of getting back to normal. It's the summertime. You know, people are out and yeah, a lot of people are getting back into the dating world. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that, but really actually focusing on one specific experience that I had, a sexual experience that honestly was not great. And I wanted to talk about it absolutely not in some sort of like titillating kind of way. This is a very personal, obviously, subject to me, and I've really thought about whether I feel comfortable sharing something so personal. But the reason why I want to talk about it, and I think it's really important, is number one, as with many things that I talk about on this podcast, whether it's about trauma, adverse childhood experiences, alcohol dependency, all those things, like I really feel that conversations about sex, especially critical conversations, open conversations where we talk about things that, you know, kind of feel like shit. And what do we really want out of these sorts of relationships? I don't think these are talked about enough a lot of the times. And again, this is always coming from my own personal experience. I don't come at any of this as some sort of expert because I'm not. But at the same time, sometimes I think it's nice to hear from someone who's just trying to live life and trying to like navigate their own personal experiences. And from that, hopefully helping people to feel less alone for sure in their own journeys. And I thought that this would be an interesting conversation to have that maybe a lot of people will resonate with as well, because I do think that some of the things I'm going to bring up that relate to this particular sexual experience are very, very common. And especially, also, my disclaimer, I am speaking, as someone who identifies as a female in a heteronormative sexual relationship, like that's the dynamic of this particular relationship or situation that happens, not even a relationship really. But so I just want to put it out there that There are certain things about that dynamic that I think a lot of women experience, because there are a lot of things that we learn implicitly, explicitly growing up that translate into the bedroom and oftentimes do not align with what feels good for us or what is authentic to us, and where we don't really get to express our needs, or maybe don't even know what they are. So that's what today is about. And before I dive in, just a few things. You can connect with me on Instagram at Janice Ho Images. I'm also at Nature Immersed. And then last thing is that I really, really appreciate the people who have left reviews for the podcast on Apple Podcasts. If this is a show that, you know, you're learning something from, or that you just feel like it's helped you in any kind of way, please feel free to leave a review. It is how people listen in. And I will also leave a link to that in the show notes as well. All right. So today I am talking about this particular sexual experience that I had. So I am going to get a little bit into details. If you are somebody who maybe doesn't feel super comfortable hearing about that for whatever reason, maybe it's because you know me and you're like my aunt or something. I don't know. I don't know if my aunts would listen in on this podcast, but I'm just saying, like, if you don't really want to hear me describe, and everybody has also, like, what I think is detailed, maybe is not to someone else. Maybe I think it's a bit detailed. Maybe it's going to be TMI for, you know, some people. So, you know, I think you could probably skip over it if it really makes you uncomfortable, and then just listen to the rest of the conversation. But here we go. I'm going to talk about what happened. And as a little bit of context, before I jump into the actual thing that happened, I want to talk about dating, online dating, just in general, because this is where this experience came out of, which was online dating, meeting somebody there. Online dating is something kind of new for me. Like, I had never been on a dating app before the pandemic. I very much enjoyed meeting people organically. It was a pretty easy thing for me because, you know, I would meet people through mutual friends, or I had a lot of, like, interests in the singer-songwriter community, music stuff, just hobbies, volunteering. It was very easy for me to meet people organically, and it was so easy that way because you meet somebody, you either know right away whether there's some physical attraction, and then also, for me, always, like, you know, you go on that first date, maybe you also spend time with them before that, but, like, going on a first date, really getting a sense, more of a sense of who they are. And typically I wouldn't sleep with somebody on the first date because I just wanted that second time to know for sure. I feel like I have a pretty good intuition, and, you know, if that second date went well, then maybe something would happen there. Also, just for some context as well, when I am in, like, I have always been in monogamous relationships all my life. When I am in those serious relationships, I'm very much, like, fully invested. I'm very loyal. That one person is my world. You know, sex with that person is very meaningful and all the things. And then when I'm not, I can be single for a long time. I love being single. I usually need a lot of time to kind of, you know, regroup after, like, a breakup, because usually those are hard. So after an 8-year relationship of mine a few years ago, I was single for 2.5 years. And then I was in another relationship for a couple years, and I've been single since then. And so it's been almost 2 years. So during those times of being single, I am very much like, I enjoy sex. I totally own my sexuality. I think there's nothing wrong with that. I am also very, very transparent about what I want when I'm getting into anything new. And oftentimes during those, you know, periods of being single, I want to be single. Like, I don't ever feel pressure to be in a relationship. I am oftentimes specifically looking to not be in a relationship for whatever reason. I may not feel ready, whatever. Focusing on myself, enjoying that. And so I will be very transparent up front that, hey, just, I'm looking for a casual relationship. If you're looking for something more, I'm probably not the girl for you right now. We're not on the same page, and that's all good. But just making sure that everything is very clear right from the get-go. And my typical kind of approach, I guess, to casual relationships has been to be very careful about not developing like emotional attachments to these people, because I don't want to lead them on. If I know I'm not ready for a relationship, I just don't want to go down that road where things get complicated, where they develop feelings perhaps. And of course, you can never guarantee any of this stuff at all. Like, we're all human beings, and it's okay if like that does happen, because that's normal, right? But I have always felt that there are certain things you can do a little bit proactively to maybe make that chance a little bit less that an emotional attachment is going to form, at least like right off the bat. There are just things that are very like relationship-y kind of behaviors that if you are doing right away with somebody who's new, you're having sex, but there's like that intimacy, there's also that excitement, and maybe you really, really like this person and enjoy spending time with them. And if you're doing like certain things, like for example, like one thing that I wouldn't do is like constantly be texting them every single day. There are certain things that I might just not say too much of, like maybe I just wouldn't act like overly affectionate or continuously be saying, you know, I feel X way about you. Like, these things can absolutely, of course, like, you know, make an emotional bond develop more quickly, and spending a ton of time with them, and also exclusivity, like them being the only person that I see, kind of feels a little bit like a recipe for developing an emotional attachment. So this all becomes important, I think. So I wanted to just give a little bit of context of how I approach these types of relationships, because I know everybody's different. What casual means to me may mean something different to other people. But the thing is that with the casual relationships that I have had that have been the ones that I like, you know, and that I think about when I go into these like situations when I'm single and I'm like, I'm looking just for a casual thing, I don't necessarily mean just a hookup, you know, like I don't necessarily find that fulfilling. Just like a one-time thing where like literally all you do is like you go in, you bang, and you go. The types of casual relationships that I have found a lot more fulfilling are the ones that have been ongoing. Like, they would go on for a few months. Again, lots of transparency, communication, but not really necessarily like a strong emotional attachment, certainly not like a romantic attachment where it was going to lead somewhere, but a connection. Like, we would talk about life. We would sometimes lean on each other for emotional support. You know, I would get to learn a lot about them. We would hang out. We would have dinner. We would maybe even go to certain events together. But typically, you know, those outings or those get-togethers would end up in sex, right? Like, that was the main point of the relationship. So now, fast forward to today. So, I mean, it's been so fucking hard during the pandemic. As someone who is single, as someone who is, you know, has been taking precautions, because I know some people just went on doing what they were doing. You know, there was like, when I first started doing the online dating thing, I remember matching with someone, and it was like, not even jokingly, I mean, it was kind of true. They were like, team freedom or team lockdown, right? So at the beginning, when I first got on to Bumble, which was what I started off with, I had no idea what the fuck I was doing. I didn't know anything about dating apps. I didn't really want to be on a dating app, but I was like, how am I going to meet somebody? I had been single for a long time at that point. I felt ready to, you know, at least start talking to more guys. Didn't want to really forget how to do that. And so I was like, fuck it. Let me just try. Also, probably naively, I thought that maybe the new norm is like you just have these video dates and you chat with people through texting. And, you know, the thing at the time, because this was very early on after lockdown, you know, people are going on these social distancing dates and whatnot. But I quickly learned that a lot of guys who were on the dating apps were like, look, I'm not looking for a pen pal, which is totally fair. And a lot of them were not really interested in social distancing. They were like, look, I'm still wanting to date, and I want to meet people who are down to do the same, right? So it was a very tricky, confusing time. And also, as much as I wanted to follow like the quote unquote rules, social distance, all of that stuff, I definitely felt it was so hard to make a connection with people because, again, I was so used to meeting people organically, meeting them in person, being able to just even give someone a hug or like reach out and touch them. Like, I'm very much a touch person. And there's something about having to just even be socially distanced from someone, wearing masks maybe even, that just make it very hard to connect, right? So the experience, my experience with dating apps, you know, started off a little bit rocky. I literally shut the thing down after a week. Like, I'm sure other people can relate. You go on these things, you try it, a week later, you're just like so turned off. You're like, fuck this shit. I'm not doing this anymore. And then a few months later, I decided, okay, you know what? I'm ready to actually see people and, you know, being careful and stuff. But like, I felt a little bit more relaxed about it. We had been going through lockdown for a little bit longer. And I think people felt a little bit more like they can navigate it in their own ways. So I went back on again, still overall, given the amount of time that I was spending on it, to like the actual like quote unquote successes of meeting somebody, and then never mind just actually feeling like you could even take it that step further and be intimate with them. Like, I feel like it was such a tiny ass percentage of like all the people that you swiped on, matched with, talked with, and then actually got to that point. So it was still very like a little bit frustrating, I guess. And I didn't really have the best sort of view on using online apps to date. Now, long story short, over like the winter, spring, I wasn't on dating apps pretty much, like still kind of had my Hinge account. So now I was on Hinge, by the way. But like I wasn't matching with anybody because I knew that I, you know, wasn't going to really come downtown because first of all, a lot of the people that I match with are in the city. We were having another lockdown, you know, even during the spring, I just felt like I wasn't going to be able to follow through and actually meeting people and stuff. So I just didn't bother matching with anybody. And then we all started getting vaccinated. And then, you know, we saw restrictions are loosening up. Things are opening back up again. It's summertime now. It's a little bit easier to like leave the farm, go downtown, meet people and stuff. And I was like, okay, so I'm ready to do this. So at this point, because I, for the most part, like, it's just been a rough time, again, being single during the pandemic, really not connecting with a lot of people in the grand scheme of things, especially compared to, like, how easy it was before. I, as I'm sure many people was in that state of, like, fuck, I'm just ready. Like, I'm ready to, like, get out there. I am so like, you know, feeling sexually frustrated. And, you know, it was very understandable. I definitely don't judge myself at all for any of that. And also, looking back now, and I'll talk more about this later, I can see how that kind of feeling, that mentality, that mindset, that approach, like, could, you know, maybe lead a person such as myself to make certain decisions that I possibly normally wouldn't have, right? And that is what happened, right? So I have learned from that, and I'll talk about the learnings afterwards after I tell you what happened. But, you know, it's just, I'm setting the stage so that y'all know what kind of mind frame that I was in, what kind of state my body was in. Again, I think so many people probably have been experiencing this as well. It's just like, just craving that intimacy, craving touch, craving just company with another human being, craving sex, whatever. Like, it's just so normal and understandable. And this pandemic has been so difficult for everybody. And, you know, just speaking from my personal experience as a single person who is highly sexual, like, it's been really challenging. So I met somebody on Hinge, was chatting with them. And so again, I just kind of got back on. This was like even like a few weeks ago. And this time I was just kind of approaching it really differently. Like, I was being a lot more active. I was just taking a lot of things less personally. I don't know that I took it so personally before, but I definitely was just investing a lot more time into my interactions. And now I was just like, okay, like, I understand it's a numbers game, all that stuff. Like, maybe in another episode I can go get more into online dating. But, you know, it was just kind of like meeting whoever, matching with, you know, people who I, you know, let's just give them a chance, okay? Like, let me just not be so fucking picky. Because before, I swear I could swipe on like 100 guys and I would maybe like one person. Like, that, I don't even think that's an exaggeration. This time I was trying to be a little bit more open-minded. Okay, so this guy, kind of looks like, you know, a little bit of like someone who I might have called a douche before because like he dresses a certain way or he has a certain like pose or whatever. And I was like, hey, you never know, right? Like, let's just see, right? So there was this one guy who kind of fit that bill and I matched with him and we started chatting and I was like, I still couldn't tell, wasn't really sure, good enough interaction, enough interest on his part, asking questions. But there were sometimes like a text here that was like, like I actually remember one time like screenshotting it and sending it to my friend. I'm like, does this guy sound like a douche? And, you know, as much as I was trying to be open-minded, like I am also because of all the self-work that I've done that you've heard about on this podcast, like I'm also trying to really tap into more about like, what do I want and what am I not okay with and what kind of like relationship patterns, even if it's in a casual context, do I not want to keep replicating, right? The anxious avoidant attachment dynamic? Nope, I don't want to. And it's hard though. It's hard when I think the dating app thing does make it a little bit difficult because you're meeting this complete stranger. You have zero context about. You don't know their friends. You really don't know anything about them. And you're just starting off with like talking to them one-on-one and trying to figure out who they are, what their character is. Can I trust this person? Do they respect me? And all of those pieces. So I think that online dating has a lot of great benefits, like meeting people who you just probably would never have met in real life, who are really interesting, and some of them are just super cool, and I've made some really awesome connections that way. And also, there is this part that can be a little bit tricky. And so, you know, I was in this mode of trying to like stay open-minded and not judge every single fucking text, right? And then at the same time, sometimes getting those little like, I don't know, right? Anyways, by the way, what my friend said, which I, in hindsight, definitely agree with, was that not necessarily douchey, was being kind of straightforward about what he wanted, but like didn't necessarily like emote kindness, right? Because it is one thing to say what you want and to express your feelings, and that's all valid to have those wants and those needs and those feelings. But the way a person expresses it and says it can be very telling about them. And you know what? It all depends on you as an individual, what you're okay with, what is your preference. At this point, I did identify that like I would like a little bit more kindness from people who I'm interacting with, again, even if it's just a casual thing. And we'll get more into the learning parts later, but I just wanted to point that out. So anyways, we did a call. I can't remember if we did a phone call. We just jumped right into a video call. Either way, I have learned that it's important to do that before meeting people, for me anyways, because I am very introverted. It really matters to me like how I spend my time. There are people who I know will just, you know, match with someone, jump on, you know, a coffee or walking date like an hour later, just spend, you know, maybe an hour with them. And they don't mind that, you know, whether or not it turns out right. For me, that sounds so exhausting. And so I prefer to just, you know, I know it sounds a little bit like an interview screening process. I don't mean for it to be that way. It's just what makes sense to me. So I chatted with this dude on video, was like, okay, like, cool. You know what? I think our vibe is good. Also, I met him, you know, not too long after, just for like, you know, like a casual coffee thing. And throughout all of these interactions, I didn't necessarily feel like excited about this guy. I didn't necessarily feel, you know, like, wow, I really like this dude, you know, like he's really cool. He's really like, I look forward to seeing him. I look forward to talking with him. Like, I didn't have really that. And, you know, I've kind of like half joked about this with someone since then, that it was kind of like a he'll do kind of situation, which I know sounds kind of shitty. But like, again, not judging myself here, also laying out the context of like, you're kind of in that state of maybe that's what you're going to settle for, right? Like, and honestly, I know that he was also in that mode of like, it had been a long time too. And so we're just two people in the same boat coming out of a long pandemic, single, living alone. And yeah, like, I think in that sense, we were very much on the same page. So when I met him the first time for like, just like the coffee thing, We did end up like making out, like, you know, also like I did want to just make sure like I had some physical chemistry. Like I love, you know, a good kisser. So, you know, I was just kind of testing the waters. Also wanting to see like, can this guy just like be okay with just doing that? Right. And again, in hindsight, and maybe even during then, it's like, he was asking for a little bit more, not necessarily sex. He wasn't asking for sex then, but, you know, just asking me to be a little bit more, you know, come sit on my lap kind of thing, right? Which was just a lot for me, like, to ask. But it was something I just kind of, like, kind of tolerated, kind of let go. Because I was like, oh, okay, I mean, this guy is so horny. Like, it's been a long time. Like, I get it. You know, all of these things, right? And again, I will talk more about what I've sort of reflected on post sexual experience with this dude. That also made me think about that piece as well. So I'll come back to that. Now, after that time of seeing him, and again, I'm not really feeling excited about this guy. Actually, even when I met him, I was a bit like, I don't know, like, you don't exactly look like your photos. Like, and, you know, yeah, I mean, I could dwell on that if I wanted to, but I won't. I think about how I just wasn't like super excited about it. But again, it was a bit like, let's just do this thing, right? Like, don't judge me, y'all. So we decided we're going to meet for a second time. Became very clear what our intentions were, like, and that was fine, right? Like, we both were just on the same page. We're going to have sex. Like, it. And for me, again, like, as I was saying earlier on, when I met people organically, that was a normal thing for me, right? Like, that was like, you know, if I felt good about it on the second date, I could sleep with somebody and feel totally fine with it. I think a bit of that mentality carried over here, where I was like, okay, second date, we have, you know, stated at the outset, this is just a casual thing. I definitely don't want anything more with this guy. I don't want him to get emotionally attached. So I think I almost put this expectation on myself, as well as sometimes, you know, I think there's a lot of things we internalize about what is this other person kind of expecting, right? And so because we named that this was just going to be a casual sexual thing, it almost felt like there was an expectation that the next time we met, there was going to be sex. And anyways, that was like, we both decided that that's what we wanted. That was fine. Nothing wrong with that. What ended up happening was because we both didn't really have our own place where we felt comfortable or could have the other person over, he ended up renting a hotel. So he booked a hotel for like a day, which, you know, I was like, you know, I can't stay overnight. Definitely didn't want to stay overnight. But we were like, okay, well, just don't worry. A couple hours, whatever. That's fine. By the way, just as a side note, in terms of like just talking about safety and things like that, I was staying with a friend downtown. So before I went to go meet this person, I, you know, dropped my location to my friend in WhatsApp so he knew where I was going to be for the next like 8 hours. I also sent my friend like this guy's contact information, his name, his phone number, a screenshot of his photo off of Hinge. I told him this is the hotel that we're going to. When I got there, I went to use the washroom, and the plan was I'm gonna like let my friend know which suite number I'm in, like all these things, which I want to talk about this because if you are like, especially for us women, right? Because this is the kind of shit that I, as a woman, and I'm sure many women have to think about being in our position, right? So, you know, if you're someone who is listening to this and you have ever felt like you kind of wanted to take precautions but maybe felt like it was overkill, I'm here to say, like, do whatever you need to do to feel comfortable going into a situation like that. This guy, yeah, I met him before, like, you know, felt pretty much like this guy's not like some sort of like serial killer, whatever, but like, whatever, he's still the stranger. I don't really know him that well at all. I don't know any of his friends or family or like his workplace and things like that. So do I want to take some extra precautions? Yeah, absolutely. And my friend and I kind of like talked about it before I left. I said, okay, we're just expecting to spend a couple hours. So can you call me at this particular time? If I don't pick up, like I should be picking up by then. You know, we agreed, like he's coming over to the hotel and finding me. So, you know, all of these things were in place for me to feel comfortable enough to go and do whatever. And And then also on another safety related note, I also asked the guy, make sure you bring protection, because I don't want a situation where I get there and we haven't talked about condoms, I mean. And then now you're in a hotel with the expectation that there's going to be sex. The guy doesn't have condoms, and will you feel pressured into doing stuff, right? So just wanted to throw that in there for anybody, you know, for whom that resonates with. Like, I think that those things are really important. They are to me. And I think there's nothing wrong with, like, taking whatever precautions you need to feel good about meeting somebody who you really don't know and have met, you know, on an online dating app and stuff, or even in person, whatever. It's really individual. Follow your instinct and do whatever you need to do. Okay, so now here's where I finally get into, like, what actually happened. And so again, if you want to just, like, skip this part, you know, feel free to do so. Maybe I'll go on about it for like about 10 minutes, 5-10 minutes. All right, so we get to this hotel and he brought a bottle of wine. I don't drink, haven't been drinking for a long time. Yay. It's been like a year and 4 months, I think, now. But like, he brought some wine for himself. I'm like, cool, do your thing, whatever. And so things are happening. Let's fast forward. In bed, starting out okay. Again, I am not really super attracted to this dude. Like, I'm realizing this more and more now. Like, but here we are, right? So let's just see how it goes. I'm just going to walk through what was going on in my mind at the time and not about what I maybe wish I would have done differently or thought differently or whatever. So just stay with me here. Okay, so not too far into us getting started, he like pulls out a condom and he's about to put it on. And I'm just like, and it was so like soon thereafter, to the point where I like, it literally like surprised me to the point where I was like, whoa, already? I was just like, I was kind of shocked. Like, slow the fuck down, dude. Like, you know, like, do you really want this to be over in like 5 minutes? Like, we've been waiting this long, right? Like, anyways, so he said, don't worry. Like, I'll take it out. And I was like, okay, fine. Like, you know, just whatever. You want to get started. And I said to him, I asked him not to finish, right? So here's another little side note here, why I communicate this, because for the longest time, it was very hard for me to communicate this. Now, I think that I'm so sure that this is very common for a lot of women. Again, I'm talking a little bit more heteronormative here, but I've read like news articles on this. There is no surprise that women tend to experience orgasms less than men. And I think they call it like the orgasm gap or the orgasm divide or whatever it is. And, you know, a lot of the time, I think it's due to a lack of communication. But it's also like, you know, and in terms of what I mean by that is a woman asking for what she needs in order to orgasm, because a lot of women don't orgasm through penetration, right? They need other ways of doing it. And so they might want to ask their partner to, you know, or whoever this person is, to help them achieve an orgasm through other means, right? And a lot of times that is really hard to ask for as a woman. Like, there's a lot of shit that we learn growing up about sex, about our role in sex, about what we can or cannot ask for, that it is very much often focused on the man's pleasure and all of these things. And these are very, like, both implicit and explicit messages, but they are very layered. They come from all different sources, media, friends, actually being in relationships, like, all of these things, right? So I think it can take a while to just even develop, you know, like the capacity to ask for those things, to even identify what it is that you need and want for your own pleasure. And so I have gotten to the point where I can do that now. And I will ask for that, because a lot of men I find don't think about it. And they don't realize that, you know what, maybe it's not just all about you getting off, but there are other things that a woman might need for her to feel equal pleasure or whatever. It's, you know, like, you just like sticking it in isn't gonna probably do it for her, right? In the same way. And so I asked, you know, for him not to finish. Also, I usually find that when a man is done, the whole motherfucking thing is done, right? Like, that's just like, you know, like, the flow is broken. There's like maybe cleanup happening. It's just like, it's done. Like, a lot of times the guy like literally passes out. I think I actually read somewhere that some chemical is released. I don't know if it's tryptophan or whatever, but like some chemical is released when a guy ejaculates and, you know, he's like fucking dead to the world. And don't quote me on this, please. I'm not sure. Like, I actually should do a little bit more research on that. But like, certainly I have experienced that happen time and time again. And then if in that state, I'm asking for him to like help me finish, you know, he's there kind of like half a zombie, like trying to do the thing. And I'm just like not even turned on at all because there is no like attentiveness happening at that point. So all of that to say is that, you know, I asked this guy not to finish in that moment because like, I don't know, maybe he's just so super excited and is going to just, you know, prematurely do the thing. So anyways, he said, don't worry, like I won't until you tell me to. Those were his words. Okay, so that's going on a little bit more, like, and then I'm just like, okay, can we take a break from that? Because like, I really felt at that point, like, dude, you do gotta, here's another thing that I think most, I hope a lot of people know, is that like, it does take a woman a longer time to get into a place where she's ready to like have intercourse, like have penetration. Like, it takes more time, stimulation, like just getting wet. Like, sorry if this is making anyone uncomfortable, but like, I'm just going to speak very explicitly here because I also think we need to normalize these conversations. So foreplay, whatever that means to people, just like, you know, taking the time before you're getting into that particular act, which like also doesn't always have to be the centerpiece of like every sexual encounter, but I understand that that's oftentimes what you kind of work towards. So, you know, I, again, I'm identifying my need here during this time. I'm not really feeling what's happening. I want to ask for him to like just slow down a little bit there. Can you help me kind of get worked up here? So I asked for that, right? And again, not very long into it, he's already grabbing another condom to like get his. And I put my foot down this time and I was like, you know, and again, I am trying to communicate all these things without sounding like a dictator. Like, you know, I'm just trying to still keep the mood, you know, on and whatever. But like, I am clearly asking for what I want and what I need and what I like. And just saying things like, you know, I really love this. Like, I really would love you to do this, right? And so when he like reached for the another condom again, I stopped him and I asked to not do that yet and was just like, you know, I really love foreplay, I really love whatever. So I could kind of tell that this guy, that he wasn't very experienced. And I do think at the end of all this that that was probably the main reason why he was kind of avoiding doing that. Of course, there might be a lot of other things in play, like he's just fucking inconsiderate and like just didn't really care about my pleasure, like all these things. Like, I'm definitely not discounting that as quite possible reasons for why he was just not making an effort, you know, like even though I was clearly communicating my needs, like just not making an effort. So anyways, I also want to add here that there's absolutely nothing wrong with being inexperienced sexually, okay? Like, if I realize that a man is not experienced sexually, like, I will never shame the dude. I will not even be thinking that in my mind. It's like, whatever. For whatever reason, you haven't had a lot of sex in your life or experience, that's okay. Like, you know, maybe you were shy. Maybe, like, you didn't know how to approach women. Maybe, like, you know, it was hard to just navigate sexual experiences because, again, we don't fucking talk about this shit. And for men, too, I can only imagine that there is, like, another type of pressure that, you know, you guys experience. Again, I mean, I don't know what it's like to be outside of a heteronormative sexual relationship because I haven't had that. But, you know, there are obviously certain gender expectations when it comes to being a heteronormative guy, how people expect you to perform in sex and, you know, be skilled at it and know and take charge and like all of these things, right? So I don't ever, you know, like throw shade at any guy who doesn't have a lot of experience. I've been with guys who have had less experience. And you know what? They might be really great at certain elements of things that are still like huge turn-ons. You know, there's a lot of chemistry still. And again, like I will just be very communicative about what I want and like actually you know, for lack of a better word, guide them in helping to figure out my body and like what pleases me. And here's the thing, even if you are very experienced sexually, I still think those things are important. Communicating those things are important to each other. You might have, you know, had sex with like tons of other women or not women, like whoever, but you are entering this new dynamic and sexual relationship with me. Like, I'm going to be someone who is unique and has unique needs, and maybe some of the things will work and that's great, bring it in. But then, you know, also be open to like how I might be different, or, you know, what certain things might turn me on that like you never considered before, right? So, you know, I've had experiences with people who haven't been as sexually experienced or experienced, where there's that communication, and then it's great. It's like they, you know, up their skills, or they like, you know, things just keep getting better. And so in this particular example, it wasn't so much about him being inexperienced, at least like in my opinion. I kind of felt that he maybe didn't really know what he was doing. And I'm sorry, maybe I shouldn't even phrase it like that, but like, I just felt he wasn't sure. Like, I could kind of sense that he wasn't confident and sure in what he was doing. And so I went into that mode of like, let me tell you what I like, right? Here at this spot, or like this or whatever, like, keep doing that. Like, whatever, you know, needed to be said to like show him, like, here's what you can do for me, right? And by the way, like, I love it when guys do this for me too. Like, I love when people tell me explicitly what turns them on, what they like. And I hope that they're open to me doing the same for them. And I've definitely been in, you know, sexual relationships where guys fully welcomed that. Not only were they okay, they wanted that because it helped them. It like took that pressure off. With this dude, as much as I was communicating as clearly as possible with no judgment, with no like, you know, again, trying to keep the mood, whatever, make it sexy, like, he just wouldn't stay with it. Like, so after like, you know, I don't know, it felt like a few seconds, he was already like, I need to fuck you. And at this point, I was like, okay, maybe he's just really nervous. Maybe he needs to just, you know, like, get stimulated again to like come back to me, and maybe he'll feel a little bit more like, you know, ready or into it or whatever he fucking needs. I did feel like there was some insecurity coming from him. And then again, he just went straight to like, I need to fuck you, right? So I allowed him to do that. Then I just was at this point feeling like he probably wasn't going to like help pleasure me, because I was doing my damnedest to like communicate what I wanted, and like it just wasn't happening, right? So he did his thing, and then I think when he stopped, like he said, I think this is when he said this, but he said to me like, that was great sex. And he had said things like throughout that he was clearly into it and he was really getting pleasure out of it. And when he said that, I literally couldn't say anything back. Like, I was not having great sex. Like, I was not at all enjoying it. And yeah, I just didn't even know what to say in that moment. So he got up and he was like, I'm going to clean off. And I was kind of like, okay, like, maybe he just feels gross, like, wearing condoms. Like, I wasn't sure, but whatever. He went to the washroom. He comes back. He has his boxers on, and I'm like, all right, what's going on here? Like, because I didn't realize we were done. And he lies on the bed, he grabs his phone, and he's kind of like very distanced from me now. This is a very huge change from before, where he was very touchy, very like connected physically, and now he's like, it's feeling very distant, and he's on his phone. And he's like checking a message, and he starts telling me about this message that he got. He's complaining about like something. And I'm lying there like so fucking confused. Like, are we taking a break here? Is he feeling like insecure? Is he just like, you know, needing a moment to just like regroup? Because like he knows we have like a bit more time. We said we'd spend a couple hours. It like hadn't really even been that long. I was confused. So I decided to just kind of check in. I'm like, how are you feeling? And he goes, oh, I feel relieved. And I'm like, relieved? And he said, well, you know, like, it's just been so long since I had sex. And like, you know, finally, it's just like, it's just a relief. Like, And then it finally clicked in my brain. And I'm like, did you come? He's like, yeah. And I was just like, and then he went on about something about it, like a little bit. And I'm just like, oh, okay. And I was just nodding and like, again, like not really changing my expression or anything. But in my mind, I was just like, wasn't it obvious that like I had not, you know, had any significant amount of pleasure? Like you didn't help me like achieve anything. And, you know, again, does that have to happen every time? No, like it's so individual. But like I had been asking for it, right? Like I clearly, literally asked for it. And so that was what was really disappointing to me. Like, at the end of the day, it really was just about you. And again, I could go into all of the things, the hypotheses of like, maybe he was insecure, maybe he didn't know how, like blah, fucking blah. But like, at the end of the day, I do expect like some effort, especially if you're fucking getting yours. And this person is asking you to like also reciprocate. For me, that's pretty shitty. Anyways, at this point, I don't want this fucking guy to even touch me again. Like, I was just really disgusted and I wanted to get the fuck out of there like so bad. And I was like, oh my god, like would it be just so fucking awkward for me to like get up right at the second and be like, okay, time to go. I just sort of stayed there for not that long, but like was just like talking a little bit. And as soon as there was like a little break in the conversation, I got up and I'm like, I'm gonna use the washroom and like, you know, got my clothes. Okay, cue to like, we're wrapping up here, we're leaving. And so we left in the car, he's driving me back to my friend's place. And the whole time I'm just like, oh my god, like just, I just do not want to be around this person anymore. And I was just keeping it very civil, very like amicable, like asking him questions about like his weekend and like whatever. Because there was this part of me that was also like, I just need to keep this all together. I need to keep my shit together. Also, I don't know how he would react if I was just like, look, dude, like, I really didn't enjoy that. And I think it was kind of shitty that you didn't do XYZ. I asked you, I was communicative. And at the end of the day, you really just only prioritized your own pleasure. Like, having that conversation right then and there is like a very scary thing to do. Like, it's a very difficult. And again, it probably also goes back to a lot of this shit that I, as I mentioned, have learned as a woman about not rocking the boat, about kind of what, like all the fucking shit we learned to tolerate, especially in sex. And I do think all of that stuff was coming into play where I felt like I couldn't say anything, where it was really, really hard to say anything, even though technically, of course, I could say something. But, you know, I give myself a break because I know that there's so many other subconscious things in play as well. A lot of emotional things, even sometimes a little bit of the safety piece, because I don't know how this dude's going to react. Right? Like, I've definitely started getting like the sense, because he was like shit talking this person he got this text from. And I was like, I don't know if you're going to like lose your shit on me. I don't know if you're going to like, you know, just be like, oh, what a fucking bitch, and like go off of me and not have a mature conversation about it and actually be like, sorry. Right? Like, so there was all of that, those reasons of why, like, be like, he was driving me back to my friend's place. I was just like, just keep your fucking shit together. So finally got there, oof, like left, got to my friends, and just immediately was just like venting out all the things and just being like, that was so shitty. Like, that was such a shitty experience. And here's the thing, like the majority of me was very much in this grounded place of like, he fucked up, you know what I mean? Like, there was very much a huge part of me that knew this was on him. He was shitty. I did my best to, you know, ask for what I needed. Was there more that I could do? Sure. But under the circumstances, like, I'm not really going to dwell or regret or whatever. Like, I just knew that he could have done so much fucking better and he didn't. And I really felt he did not deserve access to my body. He didn't deserve, like, having me, all of these things. And also, there was that part of me that felt shame and that felt very devalued, very cheap. Like, I literally felt like I was like this fucking escort that he had hired and brought to like a hotel room. And it really was for his pleasure at the end of the day. Like, it really was, it wasn't about me. It wasn't about, he didn't see me as like a human being. He didn't consider what I wanted and needed for my comfort, for my pleasure. it felt like that kind of interaction and that kind of one-sided exchange. And that made me feel super cheap and felt really like devalued as a person, as a woman, all these things. And part of that for sure was like me being like, I could have done better, right? Like, what could I have done differently? How could I even like have had sex with this dude? And again, like I told you a lot of like the backstory, because there were these like little, perhaps we can call them red flags now, perhaps we can call them moments of like, those were times where I should have like maybe paused a little bit more and said, you know what, you're not actually excited about this guy. You don't actually like, it really is this like he'll do kind of situation. And so like, maybe you should have done better, known better, chosen somebody else, like just not gone through with it. There are all these fucking things that I felt and thought about. And at the end of the day, you know, I think I just had to feel those things and allow myself to feel those things. I think it would have been very, very easy for me to just take the quote unquote high road and been like, fuck this dude. I don't need him kind of ruining my day, my experience, my like view on men even or whatever. Like the thing is, with all of the self work that I've done, especially in the past few years, I just do not ignore anything anymore. Like when these kind of feelings come up, especially when there's things like shame and like, you know, this questioning of even myself and my value and my worth, and I know what those things feel like in my body now, there are times where I may not address it right in the moment, and that's okay, but I will never let it fester for too long. I will never leave it for too long, because I know it's still there. It's still bubbling there. And honestly, I had a couple more dates not too long after that. And I didn't want to go into those dates feeling more guarded or like looking at men as like unsafe or that they don't respect me because it was so like colored by like this shitty experience I had with this guy. So I just want to end all of this stuff by talking about like, how did I end up dealing with the situation, my feelings around it, the things that I have learned from it since then. Again, I do think this is so important to talk about and for people to know, like, hey, if you've been in this situation, you are so not alone. I think it is so difficult. And I'm obviously coming from my own personal experience. So as a woman who has been in heteronormative relationships where there are a lot of gendered expectations, roles, and that completely plays into the sexual dynamics as well, it can be very challenging to unlearn and untangle oneself from all of those expectations to really discern like how much of those are coming from a place of what you've been told you should like, that you should do, etc., etc., from what do you really like? And sometimes those things actually cross over, and then that's cool, right? Like, but how much of it is truly authentic to yourself? How many things have you not allowed yourself to explore or think about or try or communicate because you have felt like that isn't something you should be into, or it's taboo, or it's like not part of those gendered norms or expectations? So that whole thing is very much, I think, a process. I think it can be very challenging. I think it can bring up a lot of stuff that's not even necessarily related to sex per se, but just relationships in general, trauma, you know, what have you, attachment stuff. And so I'm right in the middle of that process. I'm sharing some of these things. I'm sharing the parts of the things that I feel comfortable sharing enough because I have really thought about them already for a long time. And, you know, I know I'm getting so fucking intimate and personal here, but at the same time, there are a lot more other things that I will never share or I won't share until I've done a lot of processing. So that all being said, this is all a work in progress, and learning new ways of being. And in this, what we're talking about, sex, learning new ways of being in sexual relationships, and also maybe not holding yourself necessarily to like, it has to always look this way with every person and every sexual experience, is maybe also part of that unlearning and learning of new ways of being, which is maybe just being more open, being more like relationship centered versus like playing into how things are supposed to look or be or whatever. Okay, so first off, in terms of dealing with these emotions that came up for me, I knew that was really important. I've blogged before about doing somatic internal family systems therapy. I often use this on myself when I feel uncomfortable, painful, whatever have you, emotions come up that I know need to just be explored a little bit. And so I did that. I'll link to one of the blog posts so you get a little bit more of a sense of what somatic IFS therapy is. But basically with this, I kind of went through the steps that I usually do. One is like really identifying what the physical sensations are that are coming up. And so in this case, you know, I felt like my heart was kind of racing ever so slightly. I could feel what, you know, I refer to as that low level activation underneath the surface. So maybe in general, I kind of look and feel calm, but like I can tell that there is like this low level sort of anxiety almost like happening underneath the surface. And my stomach feels like slightly queasy. And so I write down and name like, here's what's coming up for me in my body as like these physical sensations. Next is like, if these sensations could say something, like what would they say, right? And it usually starts with I want. So I wrote like, I want to not feel vulnerable. As much as like I can oftentimes look at sex as just sex, it's very like black and white to me. Again, I have no shame around liking sex. Like I think it's a normal human thing to desire. But at the same time, it's fucking vulnerable. Of course it is. It's so intimate and you're sharing your body in such intimate ways with another person. So even if there isn't like an emotional attachment involved, like there's still a lot of vulnerability that you're putting out there. And in that moment, I didn't want to feel vulnerable, right? Because that vulnerability hadn't been honored in this situation, right? I didn't come out of that situation of vulnerability feeling, you know, more connected with this person or feeling great about myself. I also named that I didn't want to let down my guard with like these other guys that I was going to go on dates with, right? I felt like I needed to protect myself. I felt I needed to not get myself into another similar situation. I felt like I didn't want these other guys to look at me in the same way and objectify me and see me as just like someone who was disposable or that was just a body for them to take advantage of, right? So I also, you know, named that I want to protect myself, very understandably so. And so the next step was like naming like what kind of emotions were coming up for me. So I identified I was feeling some disgust. I did feel violated. I wrote that down. I felt devalued. And those kind of things were coming from like looking at him and what he, like his contribution to the dynamic and feeling like I feel disgusted at what you did, right? Like, and then also naming that I felt shame, that I felt exposed, I felt a lack of self-worth and that devaluation, which was coming, yeah, from like maybe what he did, but also like my own stuff. Like it was triggering and activating these old wounds that I had that made me feel like I allowed it, right? That I was responsible for it and that maybe I didn't deserve better. Again, these are coming from such deep-rooted things that I can name, that I can feel comfortable being with because I have done 3+ years of trauma healing work. So the next part, the next step in this somatic internal family systems therapy in terms of like, and really it's about kind of befriending and identifying and getting to understand this particular part of me that was coming up, right? The next step is like thinking about a memory or an image, I guess, that sort of pops up in mind that relates to this. And the first memory that popped into my mind was being in bed with a guy. This was in my early 20s. This was back when I was drinking heavily. I was out partying all the time. I was making a lot of questionable sexual decisions that didn't even really feel like decisions because I was under the influence a lot, right? And so there was a guy who I had ended up like at his place in bed. And he wanted to like have sex with me. Obviously, he was trying and I was just like kind of like snapped to enough to be like, no, right? Like I didn't want to do that. Wasn't even using a condom. And I later found out he had a girlfriend, which was like very, very like I am not okay with that at all. Like I am absolutely not okay with being sexual with a person who is in a committed relationship and is essentially cheating on her. Like, I do not want to be part of that dynamic at all. And so there were so many reasons why I felt, you know, all the same emotions in that context where I felt shame, I felt disgust, I felt not in control of myself. I think I felt, you know, that lack of self-worth because I was just like this side piece to like fuck and like cheat on your girlfriend with and stuff like that. He knew I was like drunk as shit and pretty much took advantage of that, I would say, right? And also, like, I didn't genuinely like the dude, right? It was not an intentional decision of being sexually intimate with someone. And even if it was in a casual sense, but like liking the person, like just even liking him as a human being, like I did not make that decision intentionally. And all of the same things I felt were replicated in this current situation, like how many years later, right? Okay, so the next step in the process is like actually me as my kind of grounded adult present day self coming to this younger part of mine. And so in this visualization, again, like oftentimes, like I am this younger version of myself, and I will go again in my mind in this visualization, imagining that I go to wherever she's at and I will have a conversation with her. And, you know, when I met with her, she looked really dejected. Then I, you know, asked, how are you doing? She said she felt gross and just how much of an asshole he was, but also like how much she felt like she let it happen and how much responsibility she took for it. Again, similar things to what I was feeling very recently. And, you know, I, coming from this more like adult self, said, yeah, like that just wouldn't feel great. Like, and he shouldn't have taken advantage of you, right? Like, and he should have known you were drunk. He should have also been honest about having a girlfriend. Like, that was just not fair for him to not really like reveal who he was and allow you to make an informed decision about getting involved with him. And, you know, she just said, like, I don't want to do that again. Like, I just don't want that to happen again. And, you know, I could sense that she had that feeling of like, fuck guys, they're such dogs. Like, I just don't want to like allow myself, again, as I was saying at the beginning, like to feel vulnerable. Like, I want to protect myself. And I said, yeah, for sure, right? And also, all men aren't like that, because I do know now that all men aren't like that. And I said, maybe it's about slowing things down a bit to get to know them more and to really discern, like, is this a man who is like that versus like, okay, is it, has this man like earned enough of your respect where you feel comfortable and sure and know that like if you are to get intimate with him, he isn't going to do something like this to you. And I said, you know, you want sex and that's okay. But, you know, maybe not feeling pressured that also that it's something that you have to do right away. Because again, as I said earlier on, like I think I had developed this expectation. If you're stating that you're going to be in a casual sexual relationship, feels like there's this expectation that you're not just going to be like texting and talking and going on these dates where nothing happens for like such a long time. And it's kind of like this expectation like that should happen soon, because you said you're up for sex, right? And maybe just letting go of that expectation a bit more, right? Like, why does that have to be the case? And if a guy really likes you and respects you and wants to develop something with you, again, even if it's just an ongoing casual sexual thing, and that is what you want, I think he can wait past the second date. You know what I mean? Like, so kind of changing that narrative in my mind. And so, you know, she's taking this in. And I know this might sound a little bit like woo to some people, like having this conversation with yourself, but it really fucking helps. Like, there is just such a difference between telling yourself these things and then having a conversation with like the part of you that is maybe feeling all of these things. Because like, yeah, there's something about compartmentalizing it a little bit. And I'm sure y'all have heard too about like, sometimes like people give this advice, like imagine you're saying this to your best friend, right? Because oftentimes we can have a way more compassion for our friends and a lot more objectivity than when we are in that position. And maybe we don't give ourselves the same amount of like, hey, you deserve this like much or whatever. Like oftentimes we don't feel where we're deserving of what we think our friends and loved ones are, right? But we are so much deserving of those same levels of respect and care. Okay, so she's taking this in and she expresses as well, like, I feel like I was just a body to him. And I said, like, what would have made you feel that you weren't just that? And she said, him being really honest about who he was, you know, having that clarity so that I could know who I was getting involved with, truly. And this clarity about a person's intentions, about who a person is, how they want to relate to me, all these things is so fucking important to me, no matter what kind of relationship, even in friendships now. Like, I'm really identifying that clarity, that consistency, that like just transparency is so important to me, and no less than in a sexually intimate relationship as well. She also said, you know, maybe working up more gradually to actual sex, right? Like, how would he handle just making out and touching? Like, can he just be with that and not be like, oh, like, why won't you go more like further with me? Like you said, like, you know, like that attitude. And again, you know, I mentioned the thing about what happened when I met him that first time and we were making out and like we were in his car. So he was like kind of trying to convince me to not kind of he was trying to convince me to like sit on his lap. Now, I don't think that there was anything necessarily wrong with him asking me to sit on his lap, but it was the way that he reacted at first when I said no, that he kind of gave me like a look like I don't even know how to explain it, but y'all can feel when somebody is just like, okay, in a very like non-judgmental, all good, was just asking if you don't feel comfortable with off the table, right? Like you can tell when a person is 100% willing to meet you where you're at, and when somebody gives you a vibe where you just said something that kind of displeased them, you know, like they kind of are maybe judging it a little bit about why isn't she into this kind of thing. And again, like I could just come down hard on myself about like how I could have just seen these red flags, how I should have just maybe known this wasn't a dude I wanted to get more involved in. And hey, this is the learning piece, right? Like I absolutely think that those are really good things to keep in mind and that those are things that I want to keep in mind for the next time and to take those kinds of like seemingly little signs a little bit more seriously. So, she also said this thought of like working up gradually to sex. I don't know if this is the right way to phrase it, but this is just how it came out. Like, did he earn having access to my body? Because allowing somebody to have access to my body, in some ways that should be earned. And whatever earned means to me, right? Whatever it feels that this person needs to do in order for me to feel comfortable to allow them to have access to something that is so precious, right? And really looking at my body in that way, which is maybe a little bit different from before, where again, like, it's not that I didn't have respect for my body, but maybe I looked at sex as just like sex is sex, right? And like two people are horny and want to like fuck and like are clear and transparent and honest about those things and are have like a basic level of respect, of course. But I mean, sometimes that could get a little hazy, like not gonna lie, right? Whereas like now, I think it's just a lot more intentional of looking at my body as something that's so valuable. And that even if it's just going to be a casual sexual thing where there aren't any emotions involved and things like that and feelings and blah, 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 like it's still a privilege for somebody to be able to touch me and to be able to like see me in my most vulnerable state, like physically, and to like do all of those things. So I feel like when I am coming at something from that mindset, and it's not just a mindset, it's very much an embodied sense of who I am and how I see myself, I think I'm gonna approach sexual relationships and just people in general in a different way, right? And then also she said, you know, maybe I would have gotten to know his character more, right? Like, is he really respectful? Does he show that he sees me as a person, even just in conversation? I think there are things that we can pick up on that make us feel psychologically, emotionally safe with somebody. And since then, you know, I've talked with other people where I don't get that sense. And we haven't even done anything even physical yet, but even just in conversation and relating with them, texting with them, talking with them, I do not feel a sense of safety with that person. There is a sense of uncertainty. There is this feeling like I don't know that I could be completely open with this person and ask questions and feel so sure that they are going to be comfortable with answering these things, with letting me know where I stand with them, with like talking about sex openly. There are certain things about a person's dynamic and communication style and how they relate to you that may give you that sense. And so if you're going to throw sex into the mix, like, how do you expect that to work, right? Like, if it's not even starting off with, like, just about meeting up, going on a date, about, like, hey, what do you kind of expect and want with us? And how are you feeling about me? Like, if you can't even have those basic conversations to start, once you throw in sex, like, I mean, I don't know. Maybe there are exceptions to the rule, but I feel like for me anyways, and again, this is all about setting what makes you comfortable or not. And for me, I have identified that that I really need to feel like I can be very openly communicative about this person, that they make me feel safe. They never make me feel judged when I ask a question. I know that anytime I have a concern or just a curiosity and I want to clarify something and understand a little bit more because I know that that is so important to me. Knowing that this person is going to always respond, be open to it, never judge the question, answer it honestly, and that I can feel that he's being very transparent about it. These are all things that I want and I'm looking for, especially going forward. I think that's always been really important to me, but now it's just really solidifying. This must be in place. And whenever that there isn't that, it can still be so fucking easy to ignore. Like so easy, especially when you are just kind of intending to have these more casual relationships where maybe you feel like you aren't as deserving of those things. Like, okay, we're not having anything serious. It's not emotional. So like, I mean, is like, should I be talking about all these things? Is it too much? Is it like, is this guy gonna think like, whoa, she's like so overboard. She's gonna, you know, she's just really getting way too serious about it and let's just go with the flow and blah, 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 right? But like, whatever you need to feel comfortable with whatever kind of relationship like you are engaging in, I think that is your right. And at the end of the day, it's like finding the right matches who are in line with wanting those kind of communication dynamics and ways of relating to each other. It's not necessarily about one thing being right or wrong, but all of these things, like, it's just about, I think, getting to know yourself really well and then communicating that and seeing if is that aligning with the other person. And if it's not, I mean, y'all got to make a decision, right? All of that to say, I ended this conversation with myself by telling her, like, that younger part, you know, these are all such great things to go forward with. They feel really aligned with your needs and your, you know, your power, right? And I also said, you know, it means like you don't have to shut down, right? You don't necessarily have to like get super like guarded and protective against other people, but you can also go at your own pace, right? Really tap into your body. I just wrote a blog post about really connecting more with our body's intuition and the physical sensations and things that come up that tell us like, hey, something's off here, right? And that's been super, super helpful, like, and especially when it comes to sex, which is so physical, really knowing what does it feel like for your body to feel at ease and connected with the other person and actually enjoying sex. And where does it not feel so great and maybe feel a little bit off? And it doesn't necessarily mean that you can't have uncomfortable or awkward moments, because that happens too, like even in great sexual relationships or, you know, starting out with someone who like you just met, like that's kind of different. But like, learning your body's language to discern what's the difference between those things, and where you might feel like this person isn't really respecting you or really hearing you or whatnot. So that's really important too. And, you know, just to not feel pressure to do any more than what you feel ready to and where you are at in that moment. And then I also said, you know, you're not alone in this. Like, I'm right here alongside you. It's not just you and the dude. Which was important for me to tell her, because there are, in these like heteronormative relational structures, there is an inherent power dynamic, right? And as I said from the beginning, that there are these many implicit messages, some explicit messages, where me as a woman, I'm going to feel less power just inherently by being like with a guy. There are some things that I have learned and internalized at such a deep level that it will take probably years to continue like unlearning them, to even identify them, to discern again, as I said, between that and what do I really want and need, like, and where do some of those things overlap, but where am I really coming at some of these things in my own power? And so for me to let my younger part know, like, I got you, like, it's me and you. And so next time you are in that situation and you pop up again, because maybe some of those things are being activated by being in those power dynamics, like, I'm here with you. It's like me and you. And it's not about being against him, right? It's not that. But it's about like, you have this support. Like, I'm here to support you, right? You can lean on me when you don't feel sure. And I will always be here to like hold your uncomfortable feelings and uncertainty. And, you know, even if things don't go as planned, even though you might try to do all that you can on your end, like, I'm going to be here to hold you in your disappointment and shame and whatever else comes up for you. And we're going to get through that together too, right? And so really, this is a process. this reclaiming of our body and our sexuality, my body and sexuality, like, this is what I feel like I'm in right now. You know, we have learned so much toxic shit over so many years as a woman, as someone who identifies as a female. And so, you know, it's not always going to look perfect. We're going to have to fight against some very deeply ingrained things. And that includes how much agency we feel we have in an uncomfortable situation in bed. But we're going to work through all of that together. And, you know, we're already taking the steps toward that. And, you know, she said, thank you. And she hugged me and, like, I hugged her and I said, I love you. And so, again, like, maybe this all sounds a little bit, like, out there for y'all. But, you know, at the end of the day, like, even me having this conversation here, I know this is not a conversation technically because I am talking to you one way, but I hope that it also resonates. Like, I hope it, you know, if you've ever felt any of these ways, if you've ever had these feelings of shame come up, these like feelings that maybe you were to blame, that like, you know, these like shitty sexual experiences where you end up feeling violated or that the other person just could have done so much better. Maybe you even tried to communicate things. Maybe you didn't communicate things, but you just felt like you couldn't because of whatever dynamics were going on. All of that, I just want to say, is so normal. Unfortunately, it's fucking normal, but like, it is normal and it's very common. You know, I think I've read and heard and like just studied enough about this stuff to know that like, this is unfortunately something that a lot of us go through. And that I do always think it's important to like destigmatize these conversations, to not make them taboo. And working through ways in which like maybe we can slowly but surely reclaim more of our sexuality, reclaim our bodies, unlearn a lot of those ingrained toxic messages, the ways that we think we need to perform, the ways we think we need to be, the ways we think we need to fucking look, all of that stuff, and learn new ways of relating to people. In this case, in sexual situations. But, you know, it's not just restricted to that. These sexual situations, they don't exist in a bubble, right? It's also how do we show up in relationships? Even in these dynamics of being on dating apps, where like a lot of these people you're never even going to fucking meet, never mind have sex with or, you know, whatever. But even in those interactions, in those text conversations, in those phone calls, in those first dates or whatever, what kind of things do you want, those new things, those new ways of being in relationship, those new ways of like communicating, those new ways of setting boundaries, like if those things are new to you, like what are those things that you want to reinforce, that you want to keep practicing, that you want to become your new norm? And for me, I have, since this sexual experience, have identified what those things are for me. I'm, of course, knowing that they will continue to change, that I am right in the middle of this, like, what I feel is a transition phase, a learning phase, approaching even casual sexual relationships in a different way. I do want a sense of connection in some respect. I want care. I want this person to be a caring individual and show me that they care. And I could go on with this list, but one last thing that I will say is that I want to really be excited about seeing this person. And a lot of setting myself up for that kind of situation, I think really, really does involve me being so in touch with myself, in touch with my body. What is my body telling me? In touch with my needs. Knowing when I'm getting triggered by something and activated, because even in dynamics of dating online, again, doesn't even have to get super serious, but like you are in those like attachment sort of dynamics all the time. I can spot now very easily when I'm in an anxious avoidant attachment, even with someone I'm just texting with, maybe have just gone out on one date with and like, you know, aren't even that like involved, but I can tell that I just feel kind of off and it reminds me of a very, very familiar place that I've been in many times in that anxious avoidant attachment dynamic that I don't want to keep replicating and reinforcing. So I do think there's a lot of self-awareness that comes into play. It's a process. And if you are on your own sort of path with this, you know that it does take time, and that like sometimes it can bring up a lot of stuff, and that's okay. And I hope that all of y'all out there, whether you are like me, single, out there trying to date again in this crazy ass world, navigating dating apps, I think once we start really tapping into our sexuality in a much more intentional way, if that's not something we have done a lot of, it can be quite a process. So I hope that all of that was helpful. This went on way longer than I thought it would, but y'all, I did it without a script and just really coming from my heart, talking about something super vulnerable, yes, but also something that I'm really passionate about talking about, because like I want to be able to have these conversations with people. I want this kind of stuff to be more normalized. I know how much it helps me to listen in on other people talking about topics like this in a more nuanced way, looking at sex and sexual relationships in a more critical way. Some really great podcasts that I listen to for those are the Dateable podcast, as well as Girls Gotta Eat podcast. Really fantastic. And there are all other types of resources that are great, like Esther Perel is amazing. So I'm gonna also link to those in the show notes as well. If you enjoy this episode, if you got something out of it, I would love to know. You can either DM me at Janice Ho Images on Instagram. Shoot me an email. I'm at janice.sj.ho@gmail.com. Stay safe, y'all. Good luck in your own adventures, in your own dating adventures. And yeah, keep in touch. And I will talk to you soon on the next episode of the Soul's Work podcast.